Are our academic leaders turning a blind eye to rising concerns of anti-Semitism? How does a mind-boggling $700 million baseball contract reflect on our society's values? And what does the escalating tension in the Middle East mean for global stability? Welcome to We the Patriots podcast, where we dive deep into the issues shaping our world today. I am your host, Sal Asante, and today we're unraveling the complex tapestry of cultural, political, and sporting events that are defining our times. Join us on this enlightening expedition and be prepared, as the journey we embark on might just change the way you see the world. Stay tuned. All right. I want to start first and foremost. I want to apologize. I did not get an episode out on Monday as per usual, and that is my fault. I was honestly planning to do a solo episode, and this weekend was so busy, got away from me. And to be honest, no heat in the recording room, as you could see, a little bit different of a look than normal. Working on getting a little bit of heat down there right now. It's fucking freezing. It's why I'm not here. So without any further ado, we got some things to go over. Some things they are. First and foremost, if you have not seen it, I want you to take a look at this clip right here.
Not heard if you do. Calling for the genocide for Jews on our campus.
But you've heard chants for Intifada.
I've heard chants, which can be anti-Semitic depending on the context, when calling for the elimination of the Jewish people.
So those would not be according to the MIT's code of conduct or rules?
That would be investigated as harassment, if pervasive and severe.
Ms. McGill, at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment, yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
If you do not know what that clip is, we had our Congress grilling three top university presidents in the nation. This is UPenn, MIT, and Harvard. All the presidents out on the floor getting questioned on anti-Semitism and their conduct in regards to the wording. Now, I'll be honest with you. The way that the questioning happened, in my opinion, was very one-sided. There was not any sort of different point of view. It was all getting carried onto this word anti-Semitism, which put a lot of pressure on these presidents to say the exact thing that was wanted to be said by Congress, right? If we're looking at the history, we're looking at what's going on here. We just had a vote that was 4-12-2, I believe. We talked about it a couple episodes ago, condemning anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism together in one word. The continuing issue that they're going to keep bringing to the face is they want our, and when I say they, I mean the people in the power of our country, they want to see us come out as a whole, condemn anything that has to do with any sort of anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism, right? There seems to be no other way to go about this issue other than side with the side that is Israel and do not question it. All right. Here's the problem. Number one, it's not America. Number two, the more you tell us not to do something, the more that makes Americans want to do it. And I'm not even saying for those that are out there in the Palestinian protests, right? Americans are the type of people to just do something when they're told not to do it. The more and more that they tell us to pay attention to the side that they want, the more I'm telling you, people are going to pay attention to the side that they want to, right? And that's why you see so much information coming out that's really propaganda on the other side, right? It's anti-Israeli propaganda. Take it how you leave it. We will get back to that in a little bit, specifically on that that Israeli conflict that's going on now. But in terms of what's to be said on our campuses, right? This is something that I believe that every American needs to be on the forefront of, right? If you truly believe in American values, if you truly believe in that First Amendment, if you really believe that our country has a right and a duty to protect those who want to speak out against not only our government, but any government that exists. And not only that, be able to participate in movements in our country and not be targeted, right? Not be targeted by either legislation or be targeted just by other persons, right? Allowing our people in our country, our civilians, to do the damage for us, right? So look at how we attacked the LGBT community in the past, right? So look at the past over leading up through the civil rights movement and even until really gay marriage was actually instituted under Barack Obama. So the law, the written law, was not that you can't be gay. It was the unwritten law, right? You can't get married. That's number one. But number two is it is not supported by our society. And because of that, there would obviously be a lot higher numbers in bullying, in abuses, in assaults and murders of that group of people. And because of the now acceptance of that group of people, that's why you see the numbers starting to climb of the LGBT group, right? For good or for bad, you can make case studies. But what I'm trying to say is the politicians who were against that the most, against gays, against LGBT movement the most, only made it worse by banning it, essentially. All right. Now, I'm asking you all to consider the same thing will happen when we are banning wording or ways to condemn governments, right? If we don't allow our citizens to speak their minds, they will find a way. Trust me. Now, that gets me into our second topic today, and it's a real kicker. It's something that we have not talked a lot about on this podcast in a while, and that is sports in general and baseball. We had an absurd contract come out over the weekend, and if you have not seen this, we had a baseball player sign the biggest sports contract in history. Can't tell you I was expecting that. Now, Shohei Ohtani, for all of you who do not know, Shohei Ohtani is a Japanese-born player. He is a two-way star, okay? Let's put it this way. Let's imagine that you had a quarterback in football who also played safety, right? Let's imagine that you had a goalie in hockey that also played attack. Make the same case for soccer. My point is it doesn't exist. Okay. Now, that is the reason that this man got $700 million over 10 years. All right. Now, we could talk about all the deferments, all of the money that he's not getting paid in the exact years that he's playing. That's fine. What I want to talk about is the fact that we as a country have gotten to a point where I don't want to say that's okay. Like it's kind of out of our decisions, but we're just going to go along with that. All right. What do I mean by that? Yankees fans, all of you around here, anybody who knows what it's like to be in and around New York, when you're going to a baseball game, it doesn't matter what the price of the tickets are, you're spending $1.50, right? You're going to pay to get in there. You're paying the tolls to get through the bridge if you're in New Jersey, which most of us are. You're going to go buy parking in the city. And before you even step foot in the stadium, you're going to spend $100. Now, you get to the stadium, you're going to buy your tickets. You're going to buy your food. Maybe, God forbid, you want to buy a jersey or a hat for your kid or for your girlfriend. Forget it. Another $100. All right. Now, this is something that us Yankee fans have been used to, and I can only imagine that LA has been pretty bad with the Dodgers and of course, Anaheim, with them having Trout and Ohtani over the past few years. But with a contract like this, everybody knows it. Maybe won't admit it, but everybody knows that they're going to be paying a premium to go watch this guy play and watch the Dodgers play. Where I have an issue with it is there's a damn good chance that this man doesn't pitch again. There's a damn good chance that 3 years down the line, we're looking at a glorified DH and possibly an outfielder, which there is no problem with that. Not a problem at all. What my issue with it is how reckless the contract seems it seems to be a now common theme in America to spend money in reckless ways with absolutely no regard for future implications, and this is one of them. Right, I'll say it again. The odds that Shohei Ohtani is in a starting rotation at all in 5 years is very low. Okay. The odds that he's headlining that rotation in 5 years and also still hitting 40 home runs a year. Please, I hope he does. Honestly, because everyone in the sporting world after a while is going to be rooting against this guy. All right. It is inconvenient to have this type of contract be thrown out, because now you're going to have every team and their mother. And I'm a Yankees fan, so my team has money to play with. It's not like I'm crying and I'm a Royals fan or anything like that. I'm not in that position. But all in all, you are taking the life out of the game. Where do you think your homegrown star from Seattle wants to go when he hits it big and he knows he's the number one player in the league? Odds are he ain't staying in Seattle, right? And to me, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. And although I'm very happy that a baseball player can get paid the amount of money that they're getting paid today, I think reality is going to hit these people in the face very soon, right? We haven't seen contracts. I'll think back to when I was a kid, one of the biggest contracts ever signed in baseball, even still to this moment, is Alex Rodriguez, right? And he signed an extension on top of it. That contract was $250 million in its day. This is nearly three times the size of that contract over the same length of time. Now, I understand inflation and whatnot, but understand that the realms that this game is getting taken to with money is taking it to a place where it's no longer a professional sport. It's becoming extremely political. And it's their way or the highway, right? You look at this pitch clock stuff. You look at the pizza boxes that they put on the bases this year. They don't care about the integrity of the game. They care about money. And as soon as this money starts to dry up, you're already seeing it with these contracts around the country, with broadcasting networks not being able to shove up what money they thought they'd be able to put up. Listen, when stuff gets too expensive, I'll tell you what everybody does. They're going to an illegal stream and they're watching your game for free, no matter what you're going to do about it. Doesn't matter what you're going to put in place. Worst comes to worst, they're going to let one of their friends buy it and everybody will pay them a buck, right? Tired of this. And I think we need to get back to a reality in baseball and a reality in the world, right? Because I think showing our inability to make good business dealings, like, right, we are America. We are supposed to be the world's economy. One of those facets of having a great economy is making good decisions, especially at the top, right? And of course, we can't point to a leader over the past 10 years, I would say, that has given us confidence at the top, all the way at the top politically. But that doesn't mean we continue to make these stupid mistakes that we've been making forever, right? And with this, of course, I'm talking about the Israeli and Palestine conflict that's still raging on, right? This is by far and away the longest war in Israel's history, and I don't think that it's going to let up anytime soon. Right, their attack on Gaza in their mind is going fantastically well. No reason to stop. Now, one thing that I did mention quite a bit ago, especially when this conflict first broke out, was as much as I am in favor of Israel having the right and every country having the right to retaliate when an attack happens, especially on your citizenry, the way that it happened or the way that it's reported in Israel, as much as I have that feeling, that does not mean that you have the right to uncategorically decimate a population, especially one that you are not even sure is the people that committed the atrocities against you. Now, one of the fears that I had, and I had mentioned, you can go back and listen, was I'm very, very fearful that escalation and a broadening scope of the war is upcoming. Now, I don't like to be the person to say, told you so. I don't think this is a good thing to be, but I'm just saying, oh, I told you so. Okay. Why am I saying this? Well, recently I was actually watching the news yesterday, I believe, and I saw it pop on and I knew it. As soon as it came on, I said, well, there's your escalation that we've all been waiting for. It was claimed that by Israel, of course, claimed that the Hezbollah fighters of Lebanon had attacked Israel and Israel was retaliating. Okay. Now, the scale of this was far, far below the attacks on Gaza. So I don't want you to get in your head this, but I want you to get in your head that the language that Israel is using in this scenario is the same. They have no remorse and they feel no need to hold back their strength in this moment. And this is what I was fearful of, right? You have so much money. You can see as the decisions are rolling in, especially decisions like what is happening in our Congress with the condemnation of anything that is anti-Semitic, right? Or anti-Semitic. Remember, now in air quotes, because anti-Semitism is equated with anti-Zionism. You cannot separate the two. And with that being the case, you just have to realize that for Netanyahu, for the government of Israel, it's an easy sell. To Biden, all he has to say is, do you really want to lose that support? You really want to lose that Zionist support that you have in America? And it is a lot. Now, the Jewish population does not make up a majority of America, nor do Zionists make up a majority, right? Not even close. So not in any way what I'm saying, but the money is big, right? The group, the funding, the politics bring in so much money for this movement and for this government of Israel, right? It takes one little question from Netanyahu or the government to Biden, to our leader of our country. You're not going to side with us? How do you feel about your support waning away from you? How do you feel about every Zionist dollar going against you in your next campaign? That's a legitimate threat, right? Now, when we are pitted in between the two factions that we have as such, it can only lead to disaster. And this is exactly what I was fearful of about a month or two ago, right? Or actually, we're way past a month. We're 2 months into this conflict at this point. No stopping. Looks like it's in the future. Every time there is a ceasefire, there is a resumption or a claim that the other side has attacked and we must break now. As soon as the American public starts to side with anti-war, that's when we will get out of this mess. And until then, I personally have no upside view. I think that if we as Americans can't come behind the fact that, or can't get behind the idea, the common idea that we should not be supporting war, we should not be funding wars that really shouldn't be happening. The only way that some of these wars are happening is the fact that we are supplying, we are donating. And we need to separate ourselves from being the world's police, right? Being the world's role model or standing up for our allies, that's different. But having to police every single conflict like it's our own is not only detrimental to our economy, but I truly believe that it's detrimental to our psyche and to our morale as a country. The fact that we know we don't support these wars and it's only a minority at the top, it's our leadership that's committing our tax dollars, right? This is just a really, really quick way to decimate whatever cohesion we had as a nation, right? And it's at this point that opportunities are being taken to pick us apart as Americans, to pull us away from those common identities that we always held and that we still do hold deep down, even if it feels like your neighbor right now is 10 miles away from you and that you have nothing in the world in common. I promise you, there are so many reasons that put you in this nation, in the same town, in the same city, in the same state as each other. And we need to take it amongst ourselves and take it upon ourselves to go out, branch those divisions and make sure that it is not the people that run our lives making us hate our neighbor and making us divide up amongst ourselves so that we cannot conquer as a people. I am truly believing, I'm a true believer in the fact that our nation is the strongest and the best nation in the world. But the only way that it is that nation is if we rely on the background that we got. The background, the documents, everything that comes through with our story, everything that breaks through this mold and the improbability of our nation being where it is today, that is why we need to keep fighting. And that is why we really need to stand up for everything that we believe in, help each other. And when you see somebody who's in a similar scenario, lend out that hand, right? Make that conversation that you thought you'd never make, because you never know where that thing can end up. That's all I got for you today. I want you to go hit me at WeThePatriotsMedia.com. We got some extra stuff for you over there. We got bonus episodes. We got extra content. And not only that, you can go help out the show. You know, we don't have a huge team here. We're just trying to grow, get this audience out, get this message out to more and more people. And the only way that we do that is with people just like you. So go comment, like, subscribe, share it with all your friends, and get your opinion in the box too. As soon as you put a comment in there, I'm responding to you. We'll see how it goes. Honestly, I love the engagement. I hope everybody keeps it up. Till then, I'll see you guys next week. I got a pretty special episode with one of my favorites, one of the recurring guests that we have here on With the Patriots Media, and that is Dr. Marshall. Peace out. All these bitches say, damn, I wish I were the fucking state. I want to be something, not nothing. Trapped inside my dream and I'm running. Running away from these demons. But the feeling's so good, I'ma keep dreaming.